United Kingdom, 12 points.
Finally, 12 points to the United Kingdom.
12 points go to the United Kingdom.
Apologies for interrupting your podcast, but we wanted to tell you about our show that we think you might enjoy.
We're Rob and James, the hosts of The Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. Join us every week as we build up to this year's contest in Malmö in Sweden.
We'll be chatting to the artists, the fans and the people behind the world's biggest TV spectacular. And here's a taste of what you can expect.
If the BBC rang you, Petra, to come and host a show, would you do it?
In a heartbeat.
I mean, our ambition is to win and for it to be another watershed moment for Eurovision for the UK.
Queen Laureen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Just search The Eurotrip wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Gossip Gaze. The Gossip Gaze.
Hi, I'm architect Danny Beard.
And I'm Deej Billy Anjib.
On today's episode of The Gossip Gaze, Billy's getting a stain out of a carpet. And we've got an extra special guest, Stephen Bailey.
The Gossip Gaze.
Hello and welcome to The Gossip Gaze podcast with me, Danny Beard.
And me, DJ Billy Andrew.
This podcast, as you know, it's two busy friends having a laugh, talking shit, talking all things from our community.
LGBTQ+.
That's the one, baby. Thank you for spelling it out for us. We're having a good time, aren't we, love? And we eat shit, we chat shit. And if you like to eat shit and you like to chat shit, then this is the podcast for you.
It is. So if you want to get in touch with us, share a dilemma, funny story or anything else, camp crazy cuckoo, you can get in contact by emailing us letters@gossipgazepod.com.
Don't forget, you can DM us on Insta @gossipgazepod.
And now you can get in touch via WhatsApp, text, voice notes, go wild. And if you wish to remain anonymous, you can do that as well. We'll disguise your voice. So head over to the episode's description to find out more.
I'm waiting for somebody to say disguise my voice and then I want to get in the booth.
Oh, we have got someone soon.
Thank you, voice of God. Lucas, producer Lucas, just said in my ear, we have got someone soon with a disguised voice.
I hope it's Darth Vader.
I hope it's like deep daddy voice.
Or Lisa Simpson.
Lisa Simpson?
I don't know.
It's not a sat-nav. but listen, today's show is an extra special show. I wish I could say that like Rue. Can you get that
extra?
Maybe not.
Is that all right?
Let's not do that ever again. We're joined by a very, very special guest, comedy legend, Manchester staple.
Yeah.
Is it?
By that, it means you don't work outside of Manchester. No, don't you? Yeah, yeah.
I don't leave the north. The trains are too much now.
And it is an audio podcast, so if you can't understand anyone on today's show, it is okay. We've got a Manc, what do you call someone from Leeds?
Yorkshireman.
Ugh, and a Scouser.
Is it?
Yeah. We've got Stephen Bailey in the room, everybody!
Yay!
I love that you just clapped yourself.
I always do.
Do you?
Yeah, I feel like, I wish we were more American. Like, applause doesn't happen enough over here.
Yeah, they clap anything in America. I quite like that.
Do you know what I don't like, though? They clap at a theatre show and, like, it's a bit like a pantomime.
Through.
It's a bit like a pantomime. They're like, they're like, what? Tell us. Shout it. Like, the audience go nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, come on. A bit of decorum.
Yeah. Elphaba's just melted. Shut the fuck up, Susan.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about theatre etiquette. I was at the theatre, got to see Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah.
And this girl sat next to me, was singing all the songs, but not like a little bit under her. It's like fully like, chim timiny, like really. And I was like, this isn't a casting, bitch. Like, it was so annoying.
Yeah, yeah. I hate that. It's the worst.
It's
I want
the worst.
No kids and only queers at the theatre, I think.
Well, it depends where you go. If you ever go to the Lowry in Salford, there's not many kids that go there.
Is there not?
No.
Did you see that tweet as well? Because Cheryl's now in 222.
Yeah, she is. A ghost story.
Spooky.
What have you heard?
Well, I saw it when Laura Whitmore was in it and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I've not seen it with Cheryl, but I've heard she's actually very funny.
Mm.
It's hard because people just see her as Cheryl. I've not seen it with her in. But what I did hear was the bar was like, we've ran out of the white wine. We've ran out of white wine. And this woman was like, how have you run out of white wine? You're a theatre. And the bar person just went, well, the community's out in force for Cheryl tonight.
The nosing Fandel.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a funny story. Do you remember the last time we met? Last time we saw each other.
Was at my show in Manchester, yeah.
At the Frog and Bucket.
Yeah, I was doing a work in progress show, which never turned into a tour.
Good. It was a good show.
It was a really good show.
Really
yeah.
funny show.
Guys, yeah. I was worried about the cost of living and I thought, can I ask people to buy tickets while I'm running around telling dick jokes? And then I thought, well, you lot are this drag race lot, so I'm going to do it next year instead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, it was really fun. And we had... Who did you have
I knew you were going to bring this up. I was wondering if I was going to bring it up first. It was Sam Serrano. They're a brilliant comedian.
They were funny as fuck, weren't they?
Yeah, so we got there and it was only the front row left because we were running a little bit late and we were like, shit, we're going to have to sit front row. And you're like, I don't want to sit front row. I'm going to get picked on.
Because
you have a face, people want to pick on you.
Yes,
because
it's so plastic. Want to talk to me.
Yeah.
But I hate sitting on the front because I'm fine when I'm in, I don't know if you're like this, right? When I'm in a show and I'm on stage, fab.
Yeah.
Same.
I can just say anything. My mind works quick. I'm like, bang, bang, bang. As soon as I'm sat on the other side of the stage and they go, what's your name? I'm like, Daniel. I just don't know what to say. I freeze up. Do you?
I can't bear it. I hate being in an audience.
Yeah.
But also, I'm just... My personality goes out the window when I'm in an audience.
Same.
It's like, I don't like to laugh. I just sit there like, I need a wee. And I'm sat in the middle. Like, and I like an aisle seat so I can sneakily go for a wee. But yeah, I hate sitting in shows.
Same.
It's so annoying. They're so long.
We had Sam, your lovely warm-up, and they picked on me.
Yeah, they did.
And just a bit of context, I had just gotten back from filming season 4 of Drag Race the day before.
Did you know the outcome?
I knew I was going to be in the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because they film alternate endings. So I knew I'd done well.
Yeah.
I didn't know I'd won.
Yeah.
And...
Did you know?
I didn't know anything. Danny was under an NDA. I didn't know anything at all.
Got it.
Well done, Billy.
Well done, Billy.
Thank you so much.
All right.
And long and short of it, Sam says, who are you? I say Danny Beer.
No, I didn't.
I said, I'm Danny. What you do? I'm a drag queen. And anyway, the punchline of his joke was some kind of drag race reject. We all howled, didn't we?
We howled, yeah.
We need to find the clip somewhere.
I have it.
Do you?
I don't have your face, but I have Sam saying that to you.
Right, fab.
And I swear on Sam's own Insta, they've put it out.
They have, but... Yeah. Here's the clanger.
They cut the bit
where it says Drag Race Asia.
Yes.
They should have left it in. It was funny.
I'm going to get that to you.
Thank you.
I have that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there, Sam, if you're watching at home, take that reject and shove it in your pipe.
But I was backstage watching it on the screen and I was like, and I didn't know you'd done Drag Race, but I was like, that's legend. Danny
Beer,
like, screaming at the TV, like, and I was like, oh my, but more fool them.
Here we are now.
Yeah.
Who's laughing now?
And Sam, if you're looking to do a warm-up spot, I have got a National Theatre tour coming up.
Do you know, you're going to get a DM because they will want that. Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I want you to have, do you remember the Lily Savage show from the 90s?
Yeah.
And then do you remember how it was edited where it was like, this was not how the show was meant to be. This was all you could get Lily to do because she just went off on one, ranting, raving, where you lot in from, which coach brought you in. That, don't tell me you've got this show happening. You've got a thing in your eye. Are you doing this show?
I can't. You know what telly's like, Steve, and it all happens months in advance.
Oh, God. Have you done it?
No.
Is it the Danny Beard show?
Sounds good though, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
it's got a ring to it.
Be nice on BBC Three there.
Yeah, it'd be great on BBC Three.
Yeah.
Be better on prime time, Saturday night, if anyone's listening.
Yeah.
They want to bump it up.
Straight after Ant and Dec's takeaway?
No, scrap Ant and Dec's takeaway.
Oh, right, so you want that slot?
We don't need two more cis white men taking over teller.
You just need one gay one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and the size of Ant and Dec together. Stephen, we want to talk to you today because you are an icon to the community.
Am I?
You are?
Yeah.
I never get any awards. And I know you should
Neither
do it.
Neither
do we. Oh, okay. Excuse me. You just got the biggest one.
What's that?
Well, not for the community, I suppose.
No.
Well, in a way
myself.
It is. Got a crown, babes.
I've got a crown. And to be honest, the way the cost of living's going at the minute, cash converters is looking juicy day by day.
I can't have me a lecky and I'm not paying it.
Is that why you're here today?
I've got it, but I'd rather come and do something like this and use your lights.
You can charge your phone while you're
I've
here.
I've finally understood the Blackpool Illumination things that parents used to rant and rave about.
What did they rant about?
Well, do you know when your parents use this?
Yeah.
Yeah, where they'd be like, it's like Blackpool Illuminations in here.
Yes.
There was one time I was doing my homework and my dad was seething that I had two bright lights on, that he turned them off, pulled the curtains open and went, use the street light, that's why I pay my council tax.
Wow. And now they wonder why you're gay. Now, all them years in a dark room.
The smoke pumping from their cigarettes.
We are asking you today about your whole life. Don't look at my notes because you're reading them the same time as me.
Yeah.
And we want to know what got you started in comedy. Because you talk to us actually before we do that. You do so much, don't you? What's the Celeb Farm show? Weren't Cheryl Owl on that?
Yeah, we had Cheryl on
How
that.
How was she?
Yeah. She was really good.
She
made it to the final.
Yeah.
For the first. And so where you have like Rupita badges, we have rosettes.
Right.
You win rosettes as you go. And Cheryl won like 4 rosettes out of 10.
For shoveling shit. Good for Cheryl. I mean, she shoveled like, shit on her face, and she should be good at that.
She never won a Rupita badge. And we gave her 4.
Rosettes.
Yeah, not even out of sympathy. She deserved them.
Wow.
Did she?
Yeah.
Who else was on it? Her lady, competition. What's she called?
Lady C.
Lady C. I think C stands for.
She is a fucker. She is a fucker.
There's Tory and then there's Lady C.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't say it. You host the show.
Her favourite champagne is Tesco.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah. Wow.
A little...
She's a plastic Tory though.
Yeah.
Favourite Tory champagne is Tesco.
But I have tried it and it is really
nice. Is it? Was it on a rider? Nice. You allowed to divulge?
Well, she didn't really have a rider. It's Slebs on the Farm. We have no budget. We're Drag Race season 1.
Right.
But all the time.
But America.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the American one. But so we didn't have a rider, but if she wanted one, there was a Tesco nearby.
Right. I love that. Some poor runners like that, not another 4 bottles of Tesco's own. What got you started into comedy? What was it that made you go, I am fucking funny, I'm going to be a comedian?
But I didn't know I was funny, but I just loved Holly Willoughby on The Extra Factor. And I was like, what an amazing job. So I was like, I'm going to be Holly Willoughby.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was it. And so then what happened was I got I researched a lot too much about Holly Willoughby and Dermot O'Leary. And they both started as like runners in TV. And I think Holly was a receptionist. And so I was like, great, I'll do that. So I just applied until someone was like, okay, come and have an interview. So I did, went and had the interview. Funnily enough, same man. 6 years later, gave me the job presenting Slebs on the Farm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lesson in life. Always be fucking nice to the people you work with.
Yeah.
100%.
And I literally just wrote to everyone. I was still in Manchester, never left Manchester, had a degree in languages, and was like, this is what I'm going to do. And so I went off, and then I was like, I want to be a presenter. Audition. Do you remember T4?
Yeah.
Yes. I would have loved to have been a T4 presenter.
Yeah. So while I were there, they were like, you're a bit mad, you might be able to do it. But I'd never performed in my life, never acted, never done comedy, never done anything. So I was awful at the screen test. And it was Will Best got the job.
Who's that?
Well, he's
exactly.
So he got the job. But then, and then someone said to me, you are funny. Have you ever thought about stand-up? And I was like, there's no way I'm doing that. And then I just did.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what took you from, I can't get... Like, I'm writing a show right now and I find writing comedy so hard. Like, in the moment, my mind goes ping, 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 and I can bounce off everything. As soon as my hand goes to paper or finger to pad or whatever, however you write.
So modern, your finger to your pad. Yes,
finger to quill.
Yeah.
It stops. It stops working.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. What's your process of sitting and writing?
I don't sit and write.
You don't.
So what I do is, you know, when you're having... Say something funny happened here, I'd write it in my notes, just so I'd be like, I don't know, Danny, anal beads, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'd go away and tell this, I'd go to an open mic night where people are there because they paid a couple of quid, they know it's new material.
Right.
And so then I say it as truthfully as possible,
okay.
But I record it on my phone. And then the bits that are the funniest, they're the bits I keep, and then trim away the fat, essentially.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So you don't ever sit and write, like...
No, I find it so boring.
Yeah.
Same. Why do we get into this to sit? Same. Unless you want to give me a book deal, I ain't sitting down doing jack shit
Okay, yeah. Penguin?
Yeah, please, Penguin. Because also, when I get my book deal, it's going to happen. I want to move to Paris for, like, as long as it takes to write. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, fab. You come back big, girl. You want to watch them pastries, sis.
That's why I'm fasting now. I'm going in April. Get the good juju out.
Can you remember the first time you thought, shit, this is a big gig? Oh, my God. Like, I'm making it or I've made it. Could you, people ask me this similar question. Yeah. I always think, well, you never feel like you're making it.
I always feel like I'm failing, do you?
Yeah. I always feel like a fraud turning up to stuff.
Me too. I have such imposter syndrome.
The first time I saw you was on the Catherine Ryan. You were supporting her in Manchester.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's when I bought tickets for your Frog and Bucket gig after that. But that show, I'm just taking this on a left
field. No, too.
It felt like a, because everybody was still getting the drinks, do you remember? And you were forced out on the show.
Yeah.
That was a crazy scenario.
But you came away and said, we need to go and see Stephen Bailey.
100%.
They were funnier than Catherine Ryan. I shouldn't say that because I'm working with Catherine Ryan. Oh, well, she called me a freak once.
Did she?
Did she?
Well, I was on Britain's Got Talent years ago and there was a clip played on a quiz show and she's like, what is that freak?
You did just for laughs.
I've just done it.
Yeah, you've just done it.
And she was lovely anyway. We made up.
Yeah.
Good. We're best friends now.
Good.
Plastic surgeon.
Oh, God.
But do you remember the first time you thought, shit, this is big?
I think different reasons, different things. I remember doing a show on Saturday morning on ITV with Zoe Ball. And it was with Zoe Ball. And it was like, you know, it wasn't like the biggest show. Like, I don't think a lot of people would know I've even done it because it was like 8 a.m. on a Saturday. I mean, the gays are still up.
Yeah. Billy's round some guys hanging out the back of him.
At that point, they've got the naughty music on. And but I was like, I'm sat with Zoe Ball co-hosting this goddamn show. Like, so that was like a moment.
Did you watch her growing up? Do you remember that rabbit? What was it?
Was it Live and Kicking?
Live and Kicking,
Yeah.
But she was like Top of the Pops. She was everything. She was soap star, superstar, people.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So that was like a weird moment. And then obviously when I started opening for Catherine Ryan, that was weird because her audiences are huge. They're like massive. Thousands. Mm. So that was like,
And how did that come about? She seen you? Had you met?
So I'd been going about 6 months and I was the open spot, which is like 5 minutes on a professional bill. And she was the headliner and she wasn't Catherine Ryan that she is now. She might have done 8 out of 10 cats once.
Right.
I don't think you would have recognised her at this point, but she was the headliner closing the show. And it was in this pub in like, do you know when London gets really far north London? Are you like, am I still here? Like, she was like, it was like there. And we met and we had a bit of a gossip. And that was that. Never saw her again for about 3 years. And then she texted me going, I'm going on this big tour. I need an opening act. I think you'd be great for it. And that was that. But I'd not seen her in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And so then I was opening her massive, like, so she started in 1,000 rooms. And then I did her tour last year. And she was doing arenas.
Yeah.
And it was insane.
Did your bottle go doing an arena? I mean, no. I've just done the O2 and mine was
Did you smash it?
I smashed it. I loved it. I said, hello, O2.
But it is like, it's a, you go, when I did those ones, you go, this is why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'm doing it to do 100 people in a pub. I think you're doing it for that. And then obviously when I did Live at the Apollo, that was one of those moments where I'm like, the fucking sign's going up the smoke. And I remember them going, you're stood in this little box, which quite frankly, I think I was too fat for. You're stood in this little box. And they go, do not move until the sign is fully above your head. Otherwise, something will hit you because this thing's going down as that comes up. And that's how you'll start the show. So I was like, oh my God.
Right, so there's pressure.
But then I did the opposite. I fucking forgot to walk out. I just stood in my box like that. And then the floor manager's going, go, go, go. And it's like, all the smoke's gone. So they had to do another
Right.
A little square.
Yeah.
I love the sound effect there as well. Yeah.
When did you think, though, like, I don't know if you ever feel like you've made tune. Well, you might do now.
No, I don't. And
do
I
you
think,
not?
No, and like, even stupid things, like, part of me's embarrassed to say, I shouldn't say.
Say it. Say
no,
it.
I did that, like, the other week I did Pointless Celebrities, and it's the celebrity's here today, and I was stood there like,
oh, so you feel like you're not a celebrity?
Well, no.
Oh, right. But do you think there'll ever be a moment where you think you are?
Maybe a gay one. Do you feel like a gay? Do you feel gay-ness?
I feel like a gay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. And women. I don't know about
yes.
you.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like, middle-aged women are obsessed with me. Like, I'll be walking down the street
they
and they'll
the
be
gays.
Like, oh, my God, I love you. Yeah. I was once having dinner with my boyfriend in Sheffield in this Chinese. And this woman came up to me going, it's Zoe Ball's best mate. She was the one viewer we had. She's like, Zoe Ball's best mate. And,
right. and came still up from 8 a.m. Like, for almost
like,
before.
Got sweet and sour chicken balls in my mouth. She's like,
Well, this is it. I feel sometimes gamous, but I kind of felt that a little bit before Drag Race, because I was in the sauna once in Manchester and I had a different kind of sweet and sour balls in my mouth. And someone was like, that's Franny Beard. And I thought, great, what a mood killer.
I like being gamous, though, because I think we have great audiences.
Yeah, we do.
Like, they are, like sometimes, like, I went to my friend's show, and she's got a bit of a Radio 4 audience, which I can't, you know, they feed me, so I shan't say anything too much about them. But it is a bit more like, well, what are we going to learn? It's like, no, you're at the wrong fucking event.
Yeah.
Like, and so hers was like, it was kind of like, titter, titter, applause. And I was like, well, whereas like with mine, if you play the Saturdays and walk out to it, like people are up in their seats.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
And the gays love a scream. And I also think the gays, I use the gays trademark as a name for the full community. But I think that the gays are, we take the piss a bit more.
Yeah.
And we like something a little bit more cutting as well and shady.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Everything's fair game.
Yeah.
With the quiz.
Yeah.
I love that. And I don't think I'll ever want to not do cabaret venues.
No.
Because I still love the sticky fours in some, like the Two Brewers in Clapham. I still love rocking up there. And it's packed to the rafters and you come out and you know you can sing the same five songs, Free From Desire. And the gays are going to love it. And you don't know what you're going to say in between, but they're going to howl. And I just love that about a gay audience.
Yeah.
Do you find, though, sometimes you're... Because when we saw you, I love all the gay jokes. And I remember you did one, and it was like, let me explain for the... What was it? It was something like about... Oh, let me bring it back for the straights. Misogyny. And it was so well done.
Yeah.
Is there anything you ever say and you think, I've took it too far for the straights?
the time. But I do think, I don't know how you guys feel about this, that I'm not saying anything about anyone, but I think also being a camp gay man gives you a little bit more, they let you off a bit more, because I think they're a bit like...
Let me level it up and say when you've got hip pads in, 6-inch heels, a pair of foam tits, and you paint yourself like someone from Kiss, you get away with even more.
Yeah. Because I think they're like...
It's like, a caricature.
It's a caricature. And it's, I think, I don't know... Because some of the stuff I do now, you know, I have fisting bit now, which is rich from me because it's like, I've never tried that. I mean, I barely want to do anal anymore.
And you're out of breath after a while.
Yeah.
I'm only the right side of 30.
I said to my boyfriend, when can we have separate rooms? Like, we've done 4 years now. Like, come on. So I feel like, pardon the pun, but I'm all mouth.
Yeah.
And then, And sometimes I go, I wonder if they know. And also the other thing I think sometimes is going, if a straight man spoke to a woman the way I speak to some straight men, they would get tweeted about.
Yeah, but they're the dominant race. So I don't know what the right terminology is.
Just say
they've not been fucking abused for being a straight white man, so they'll have to take it.
That's exactly what I say.
All right.
If they look a bit uncomfortable.
All the jobs go in your favour.
Yeah,
sorry.
I always say if they're looking a bit uncomfortable, I always go, what did I say last night? I went, I'm only doing to you what your lot have done to women for hundreds of years.
Yeah, like, yes.
Payback is a bitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you probably did to me in fucking secondary school.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And also, they are fit, some of them.
Yeah.
So it depends. Community. I don't like a gross builder. One who's like wolf. Well, it depends if the wolf whistled at me.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I love a wolf whistle.
I love a wolf. If a woman gets wolf whistled while they're walking down the street, I pretend it's for me.
For me,
right.
Yeah.
You're like,
I'm like that.
You.
I'm waving back at them. I'm getting the attention off the bitch that's getting wolf whistled.
I had an incident where I ordered an Indian takeaway once and on the phone. So I rang up and I placed my order and the man said, "That'll be with you in 20 minutes, madam." Mm. So obviously... Right. My LGBTQ plus queer side was livid. Right? Then when he came with the food and he handed it over, and then he gave me two roses and went, "That's for the pretty lady that made the call."
No!
So I was dead happy then. Call me whatever you want. Yeah.
Do you know what though? I've had similar before over COVID. I worked on the 119 COVID lines.
Did you?
Yeah, I never got my NHS badge, but no one clapped a fucking pan for
I
me.
I did. I clapped for you.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
I wasn't technically an NHS worker. I did it from my living room / bedroom / it was a really hot summer.
Did you
hammock.
Wear the blue though? Just to...
No, sometimes I was topless in the garden with carrot oil on. But I used to get old men flirting with me and I'd be like, "Oh yeah." And I'd say, "Oh yeah, my name's Danny."
Danny with an I.
I just went with it. I was just thinking, you know what? They're getting off on it.
Yeah.
I'll pretend that they think I look like this. I'll get off on it.
Perfect.
Rose I love for the pretty lady.
Yeah. I love a flirt and a square.
I love a flirt. And also, because I'm in a relationship, flirting with straight men is so safe. But then sometimes I feel like, oh my God, this could happen.
So you, what have you done with your fella?
That show where thingy was on it.
Oh, we did Unbreakable. That's BBC it. One's Unbreakable. Yes, we can all be BBC Primetime.
So how did you find that show? You was on it with What's-Her-Face from Strictly. She was on it.
Shirley Ballas and yes. her partner.
She's camp. The gays love it.
The gays yeah. love Shirley. And she is kind of mad.
Yeah.
Do you know what she wanted for dinner?
No.
Tuna jacket potato.
Is that it?
I love that. I feel like it...
With sweet corn or without? Went,
without, just a bit of mayo.
All right. Went, she's definitely a bottom.
Shirley.
Yeah. I know your game, Shirley.
She went, I went, "Shirley, you're ruining the illusion. I don't think we can eat in the same room anymore."
Yeah.
I thought she'd have caviar.
Caviar yeah. and Tesco fucking Prosecco.
Kathy Hilton. Do you know a bit like, I'm yes, going to have my jacket okay. potato, but with caviar and cream cheese.
God, who yeah. had that?
Kathy Hilton on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, I don't do the... I know if I ever get into Real Housewives, it'll be the end of everything for me.
My career has dipped. Since yeah. because it's all I can think about. It's all, and sometimes I go, oh, I've got an hour now. I could, you know, write up some notes, do some admin, da-da-da, whatever. Just have a little catch up.
What, are you one of these that the diehard Housewives fans are like, mix them up? I watch any housewife, any combination of housewife
they do,
from any.
Don't they, some of yeah. them? I know one who now lives in Scotland, obsessed. I once went round to his house and I thought we were going to like have some fun.
We can't say the name on it. He's fitting. He shagged Sam Smith.
I know. I know he did. Know. Anyway, so I was going round to his thinking I was going to get some and did it was, he just put Real Housewives on and fell asleep. I was fuming.
Well, there's a lesson there somewhere. And I think it's probably start using Grinder pics that look like yourself.
Don't they have a lovely laugh?
Yeah.
Don't you have
that's
a
why
nice
he's on the show.
Laugh.
It makes me sound funnier. Oh. What we're going to do, Gail, if you're happy to stick around, yeah. we're going to get you in the rest of the show. We've got some listeners' problems.
My favourite.
Yes. So we're going to tell queer people how to live their lives. And it's my best thing. It's what I'm best at.
Yeah.
Is that what your new show is?
Could be. straight up after this, guys. Thank you very much.
United Kingdom, 12 points.
Finally, 12 points to the United Kingdom.
12 points go to the United Kingdom.
Apologies for interrupting your podcast, but we wanted to tell you about our show that we think you might enjoy.
We're Rob and James, the hosts of The Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. Join us every week as we build up to this year's contest in Malmö in Sweden.
We'll be chatting to the artists, the fans, and the people behind the world's biggest TV spectacular. And here's a taste of what you can expect.
If the BBC rang you, Petra, to come and host a show, would you do it?
In a heartbeat.
I mean, our ambition is to win and for it to be another watershed moment for Eurovision for the UK.
Queen Laureen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Just search The Eurotrip wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Gossip Gaze.
So what have we got, Bill? What's on the list?
So this is actually not a dilemma. It is a sex story. And we picked it purposely for you, Stephen.
Perfect.
So this says, I've just been introduced to your show by my GBF, gay best friend, I'm assuming, and I'm in stitches. Am I going car deaf?
You've got a bit car deaf. And I'm in stitches. Do the rest of it in a Welsh accent.
No, wait.
Try it.
So I was dating a guy for a few months, and after a few hot rounds, I had a sore on my banjo.
Hang on, whoa.
A sore on a banjo.
GBF, I was expecting this to be a Hetty Gale.
So am I.
So the Hetty Gale's got a banjo, I'm liking this.
So after showing him the sore, he instantly said he had an STI, mortified, and I showed my GBF and had a test. Okay.
Was your GBF a doctor?
I don't know who the GBF is.
I met a really fit doctor who's gay on Monday.
Did you? Did you get your knob out?
No, I would try to. His boyfriend and my boyfriend were both like, Stephen.
So, after not talking for a period of time, we decided to have a night out and reconnected. Several drinks later and pissed, we ended up having a sex session, but then we went to sleep. The morning after, we woke up and he said, oh, I've had a bit of an accident. Me hanging on was like, ah, okay. And he said, no, I need you to leave whilst I clean up.
Shut the bed.
Off he goes to the toilet and said, don't look. Obviously, I looked.
Preaches.
My brand new beige carpet was covered in diarrhea. Not being in this situation before, I took myself off for a bath and awkwardly left him to clean up. Safe to say, we've not spoken since.
I'm not being funny. Just, we need to recap because this story was the fucking Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I don't know why.
Never came back round.
Did someone play the banjo? What the fuck? Why was the diet?
Okay. I was dating a guy for a few months and I had a saw on the end of my banjo. It says...
What's the banjo saw got to do with the diarrhea on the beige carpet?
I don't know.
And can I just say as well, hats off to whoever this was to stay calm enough to just go and get a bath and leave diarrhea on your beige carpet. You can tell if they live in a rental.
Yeah, I'd be getting the bloody Febreze out.
Febreze.
You need more than Febreze. I'd have to get Carol round.
Yeah. Is that your cleaner?
Cleaner, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I tell you, I've just got two new cleaners. They walked in and they're both men. And then I was showing them around
the
house.
She shit herself.
I was like, you're right, mate. I was like, yeah, mate. Down there, just need to clean up there.
Straight to me outhouse, please, mate.
I've got Barbie all over me walls. I'm like, fuck.
Barbie wallpaper.
Stephen, you've not seen.
Is it Barbie wallpaper?
Barbie Street Mouse.
Let me explain her interior to you, love.
Please.
The gayest person that you know.
Yeah.
Think of them.
Me.
They've just took right. You've just took a tab of acid, then you vomit that acid up, and out comes an ostrich pink feather lamp, parrot curtains, cow print sofa,
zebra staircase.
Honest to God,
does it work or no?
It does work. I think she watched one series of that Interior Design Masters with Ellen Carr and thought she was the same as that chubby girl.
Do you live
Leeds.
On your own?
No, I live with my partner.
Yeah,
yeah.
He does whatever she says.
Got you. That's the perfect partner.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And he's South African. He's lovely. So he's like, oh, you want zebra carpet?
And he's never shit on the carpet.
He's not. Can I just say, thank you for writing in.
What's the question there?
There's no question. They just wanted to share it.
They just wanted to share a sex story.
Oh, I thought they were asking us for advice. I was going to give Carol's number out.
Have you got any advice for stains out of a carpet while you're here?
Red wine. Throw white wine on it.
No. Just stinks of vinegar.
Don't you just pour salt on everything and it brings it up?
That's
bicarbonate of soda. Bit of bicarb. That'll get right out.
Do you know what? This is the this is the one downfall of gays. Straights would know because they're obsessed with that hinch woman. into Google how to get red wine out. The next thing that comes up is a crushed velvet sofa. Right. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The straights.
Love
a clean. We're the gays. We've all got a Carol. I've got a Susanna. You've got two men.
I don't know who they are. I didn't even ask the names. I was too scared.
Very big.
And I would never have carpet as a gay.
Would
no,
you
I want
not?
Something to wipe
in
down.
In my bedroom.
Something to
wipe
clean.
Should be wiped down. Yeah.
Wow.
You know what you look like.
I'm starting to think you were lying. I think the fisting story from before was a double bluff. She's got everything wiped down.
Well, I only said I recently retired from it.
Well, thank you for writing in. I think we've got some. Is the next one a problem, can I ask? Because this we get people to leave voice notes.
Yeah.
Lucas thought it would be funny to do sex stories because you're a comedian. Thank you, Lucas.
Cheers, Lucas.
How do you know Lucas? You know producer Lucas?
I met him at a gig and then we ended up going into the gay village. You know what the gays are like?
Yeah.
I don't have any gay fans. They all become friends.
That was the same night. But you met at Salford Uni first, I believe.
Salford Uni, yes, I forgot about that one.
I remembered.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Because Lucas, who is very old, was sat with a load of 18-year-olds. And I was like, you don't fit in here.
Right.
But I was convinced he was straight.
Really?
Are you having a laugh? How bright were the lights in Salford Uni? Because I'm not being funny. That little tangly cross earring she's borrowed off fucking, what's his face, who's 10 foot under? Cruiser.
Cruiser?
Big star.
George Michael.
She looks like George Michael. Anyway, that's a lovely description of producer Lucas. We've got a voice note to play you now. Now, hopefully, we can help this person. I've not listened to it, but we might not be able to help the person. We can't help the last person. Thank you for writing in.
Well, they didn't ask a question. That's their own bloody fault.
Yeah.
I hope you managed to get the shit out your carpet anyway for writing in. Thank you.
And their STI sorted on the banjo string.
You can get that redone in here, that music shop in town.
If he's serious, then.
Honestly, we're turning into people's free therapy here. Yeah.
You're like sex therapists as well, because it's fucking filth.
I know. Deej, sex therapist, comedian.
You should do it live.
No.
You should do it live.
What, podcast live? We've done it live.
A sex therapy session.
No, not with her. It'll turn into an orgy.
She can bring the zebra butt plug.
Yeah, I'll bring the poppers.
Listen, we have chatted.
I've never done poppers, you know.
Have you not?
I've got some in my back. I've just come from a hookup. I'm not even lying. I had to pop home. I left one of my eyebrows on the top of his back.
My God.
I had to pop home for a new eyebrow. So my eyebrows are wonky today, but anyway. Some guy in Denton got the other one on his back.
Oh, I'll pick it up on the way to my mum's after.
Thank you.
She's done me bedding for me, so I'm going to swing by. I'll swing by and get it.
Listen, we've ran out of time to talk to you today. We could have filled a whole month's worth of gigs with you.
Yeah, we still can. We should, and we will.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking
Thanks
to us.
Thanks for having us. Can I just say, DJ Billy has such a lovely face.
Aww, thank you.
Nice smile, very welcoming. Very twinkling. I feel like he's not been beat to death by the industry yet. Like
not yet.
Two.
No, not yet.
Look, he's still got that twinkle. You are also... Danny, can I also just say, Danny?
Yeah? Go on. I'm waiting.
You're looking so amazing today. So that was radiant.
I love the gap between the compliments. You're looking so... And the in-breath... Let me know she was thinking of a word to call me. No, I think that's time for the end of the show.
I just how can I make it know that you're looking so great today that I would like to poke your minge?
Stephen Bailey, you've been a legend and an icon. And can I also just say that means a lot to Bill because we've had shit on TikTok for how we look, haven't we?
Oh, I've had hate.
Oh, you've not. Pillow Face, the podcast.
Everything.
Pillow Face. Both
of us.
Well, she has got smaller lips than I considerably did, smaller lips.
Yeah, I did get my lips dissolved because of TikTok. Don't go on TikTok, it's evil. Evil.
Listen, guys. There was more we wanted to talk. We haven't had time to. We'll have to get you back.
I wish there was an off bit, you know, for all the stuff that we were saying.
Yeah.
Don't tell him. We'll get pulled off the fucking channel. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, share a dilemma, funny stories or anything camp, crazy, and like Billy says, cuckoo, you can get in touch by emailing us at letters@gossipdayspod.com.
You can DM us on Instagram, which is @gossipdayspod.
And now you know, we've got a little WhatsApp, so send us those voice notes. Try and make a bit of sense. I would like another drunk voice note. It made me weak the other week. Don't forget as well, the voice, no shit, what am I saying? Don't forget
WhatsApp.
Don't forget the number is in the bio of this description. What the fuck? Where's the fucking number?
It's in the bio.
Thanks. It's your first day and you know where it is.
Where is it? No, sorry, it's in the description of this episode.
Yes,
that's where it is. There it is.
My head's up my arse. Mm. I've had such fun today. I love having a guest on the show. Check us out. Tell your nan about us. Tell your mates about us. We have 2 episodes a week. We'll see you somewhere soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Applaud. Woo! Applaud.
Thank you for saying applause. It sounded like we were doing Foley on a porn shoot.
United Kingdom, 12 points.
finally 12 points to the United Kingdom.
12 points go to the United Kingdom.
Apologies for interrupting your podcast, but we wanted to tell you about our show that we think you might enjoy.
We're Rob and James, the hosts of The Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. Join us every week as we build up to this year's contest in Malmö in Sweden.
We'll be chatting to the artists, the fans and the people behind the world's biggest TV spectacular. And here's a taste of what you can expect.
If the BBC rang you, Petra, to come and host a show, would you do it?
In a heartbeat.
I mean, our ambition is to win and for it to be another watershed moment for Eurovision for the UK.
Queen Loreen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Just search The Eurotrip wherever you listen to podcasts.